morning and welcome. Today is a special service because this week is unlike any other week in the Christian calendar. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, Jesus' joyous entry into Jerusalem. But we will also turn to the events that followed, walking through the moments that led up to Jesus' arrest. We'll do this as if journeying day by day, because just like our lives, Holy Week happened day by day. Because of that, our order of service is different today, although our usual elements are included. In this service, we will incorporate the tradition of Midrash. Midrash is an ancient Jewish tradition that weaves together the art of storytelling and the truth of Scripture, inviting us to imagine and wonder about the details that exist between the lines. Today, you will hear from five voices: a woman who witnessed Jesus flip the tables in the temple, a Pharisee, the woman with the alabaster jar who anointed Jesus' feet in Bethany, Judas, and one of Jesus' disciples. As you hear these stories read aloud, we invite you to lean in. Imagine yourself there. Feel the truth of this narrative. For it was a holy week, and it was a hard week. Let us begin.
Please join me in the call to worship. On Palm Sunday, so many years ago, the people saw Jesus and asked, "Who is he?" In worship, we respond. In worship, we declare, Jesus is a miracle worker and healer. Jesus is a teacher and preacher. Jesus is our light in the darkness. Jesus is our source of love. Jesus is our path in the wilderness. So may we lay down our hearts like they lay down their coats. Let us worship Holy God.
Sunday, triumphal entry. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that were following were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." I invite you to stand now for our opening hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor."
Thank you.
peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us now pass the peace of Christ to those who have gathered to worship nearby. Good morning and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro. We are glad to have you worshiping with us on this glorious Palm Sunday morning as we begin Holy Week. I invite you to take a moment to register your attendance with us by finding the pad that is somewhere in your pew and filling out the information. Those of you that are here every week know you simply just need to put your name. If you are visiting with us or would like to be in contact with us, we invite you to put any additional information in there that you are willing. Today, in celebration of Palm Sunday, we invite you after worship through these doors to our fellowship hall. Normally, we have our coffee fellowship, but today we are having a Palm Sunday potluck breakfast, and we invite everybody, whether you brought something to share or not, to come and join us and enjoy a time of good food and fellowship as we begin Holy Week together. At 11 o'clock this morning, Pastor Renee will be teaching the last session of the Years of Ripening class at 11 a.m. in the fireside room. So if you've been participating in that class, you are invited to that at 11. Coming up this week, in addition to all the Holy Week activities, the book club will be meeting on Tuesday, March 31st at 10 a.m. at Kathy Pearson's house. The Let's Read This Book will be meeting Tuesday afternoon here at the church at 1:30 with Sherry Plunkett. And coming up the following week on Thursday, April 9th, will be the Heart to Heart Monthly Women's Luncheon and Bible Study. We will be looking at the beauty of discernment as we continue our study with the Holy Spirit. Additionally, Saturday, April 4th, we have the monthly men's Bible study and women's fellowship breakfast that takes place on the first Saturday of the month at Manor Grill. That'll be on April 4th at 7:30 a.m. If you're interested in those activities, there are sign-up sheets in Fellowship Hall, and you can come and participate in any of them. As mentioned, today's Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, and we will be remembering Maundy Thursday, the night Jesus shared the Last Supper with his disciples and led to his arrest. We will be having a Maundy Thursday worship service here in the sanctuary on Thursday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. We invite you to join us for that. And then, of course, we invite everybody back next Sunday to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, on Easter Sunday, April 5th. And along those lines, if you have not yet ordered flowers to help decorate our sanctuary, today, this morning, is your very last opportunity to do so. There are order forms in Fellowship Hall, and those can be turned into Lynn Roman. So please do that. This time, I would like to invite Lowell Hickey forward for a moment for mission.
Good morning. This is the season when we take up the Presbyterian Church USA's One Great Hour of Sharing offering. And today, I'd like to share with you just one example of what this offering does to help people in need overseas. As a girl in South Sudan, Mama Nayair had a good life until civil war broke out in 2013, exposing her to unimaginable horrors. Countless lives were lost in the armed conflict, including her father and most of her 9 siblings. Everywhere across the fledgling nation, farms, homes, and livelihoods were being destroyed, while abductions, detentions, and gender-based violence were everyday occurrences. Added to that, an unrelenting onslaught of natural disasters followed, causing the United Nations to declare famine in parts of South Sudan, with 100,000 people experiencing starvation and another million on the brink of death. Millions of desperate residents were dispatched from their homes and fled to refugee camps in neighboring countries. As Mama Nayair and her family fell deeper into desperation and hopelessness, hope arrived in the form of Hope Restoration South Sudan. It's a nationally registered, woman-founded, and women-led non-governmental organization that is a partner of Presbyterian Church USA. The partnership helped vulnerable communities improve food security and empowered women and girls through farming, in addition to assisting the work of disaster relief and recovery. Financial support from Presbyterian Church USA comes primarily through generous gifts to One Great Hour of Sharing, which furthers the mission to alleviate hunger and bring restoration to the people of South Sudan. Centered in the prophet Micah's call to do justice, One Great Hour of Sharing has been helping neighbors in need around the world for over 75 years. The annual offering gives Presbyterian Church USA a tangible way to share God's love by joining together to help eliminate the root causes of the world's injustices. The needs of the world are great. We will receive this offering next Sunday, Easter Sunday, and envelopes are now in your pews. If you have a box of offering envelopes, there will be one for One Great Hour of Sharing in it. And if you give online, there is a place to make an offering for this. If you're writing a check, please make it out to FPCSL, First Presbyterian Church of San Leandro, and mark One Great Hour of Sharing on the memo line. Please give generously, for when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for showing us how we can join you to do justice around the world. We pray for Hope Restoration South Sudan and for those who live in places affected by famine. May we be like Christ in showing the world how we can truly live as one. In his name we pray. Amen.
Monday, tables turned. Then Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who were selling and buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of robbers."
I come here every Monday morning. It's always been like this, at least as long as I can remember. My parents talk about a time when this room used to be packed with people here to pray and hear the Torah every week. They talk about those days like they were the glory days. If only we could get back to that. Now, the temple is primarily a marketplace. I come here every week for the farmer's market to buy eggs and figs and food for my family. And they have the best bread. I've never felt guilty for that because I pray on my own. And we still celebrate Passover. So is it really that big a deal? I used to think not. But that day, that changed the day Jesus showed up. I don't know that I will ever forget that day. I just bartered with Simon for 2 fish for my kids. That's when I heard the sound. It was so loud. A crash, a bang, a splintering. And for a brief moment, I thought God might be tearing open the walls and climbing inside. I turned around, hands full of fish, to see the money changers' tables turned over and the doves flapping wildly in their cages. Coins slowly rolled their way across the holiest of holies, and everyone froze. I've never heard silence so loud. Jesus paused and looked at the room. Quietly, he said, "My house is to be called a house of prayer, prayer for all nations." In the quiet, I felt myself hiding the 2 fish in my hands behind my back, like Adam and Eve hid behind the leaves, wishing the coins in my head could disappear. And then as quickly as he arrived, he turned and left. I can't be sure, but it looked like there may have been a tear running down his cheek. And for just a second, I wondered to myself, maybe, just maybe, the sound really was God tearing open the walls of the temple and climbing inside. "Who is he?" you ask. I don't know, but he's not like me. He's faithful. He's honest. There was nothing hiding behind his back. Have you ever felt that kind of shame? Have you ever wanted to hide something from God? Confess with me. Think about the things you have tried to hide from God in the silence that follows. Let us say together, God, for all the things we try to hide from you, forgive us. Amen.
Tuesday, authority questioned. When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?"
Do you know how many are in the Torah? 613. You know how I know that? Because I spent my entire youth memorizing them. Hours upon hours upon hours of repetition. And after I mastered those, I went on to memorize the entire Torah. That's the first 5 books of the Hebrew Bible. I spent all those hours sitting at the foot of my teacher so that I could one day teach. That's what faithfulness, sacrifice, and a life of service looks like. At least that's what I've been taught. I've talked to every scribe and priest in the land, and no one knows who taught this Jesus. No one raised him to teach. No one even knows if he passed his Torah comprehension exam. Where does he get his authority? And why are people listening to him? This is the thing that blows me away. His teachings are unorthodox. He healed the Sabbath. He talked to Samaritans. He's completely disregarded our societal lines, befriending women and lepers. Does he even know how many laws he's breaking? I just don't understand. This isn't the way it's supposed to be. I studied for so long, and nothing prepared me for this. Who is he, you ask? He's a radical, a heretic, a rebel, a mystery.
Wednesday, anointed. Now while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of costly ointment, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble the woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
It was Wednesday. I heard he was coming to Bethany. People talk about stuff like that. People also talk when you break open a bottle of perfume to anoint someone in a crowd. I learned that the hard way. In a few years, they may forget my name, but I bet they'll remember what I did. I am the woman who anointed Jesus, and it remains one of the moments in my life that I am most proud of. Jesus was at Simon's house. He often went there when he was in the city, and I knew that. We all knew that because we could see them packed in there. It's hard to miss 12 people in a packed room. So before the sun fell, I grabbed my jar of perfume, the only item of wealth I own, and walked to Simon's. I had begged and saved for years to afford that jar of perfume. It was my backup plan, my safety net when I could no longer work. So I kept hidden in the cupboard of my house. The whole way to Simon's house, I clutched that jar like a mother holds a baby, terrified that I might slip my hands too soon, that I might lose the only gift I had to give, accidentally anointing the dirt at my feet instead of the man who had healed so many. It wasn't until I walked through the door and saw Jesus sitting there that I was able to release my grip on that jar. I had made it. I had my gift, and this was the moment. The smell was unbelievable. Sweet like milk and honey, but even stronger than fresh baked bread. I knew when I cracked that jar open, it would be overpowering. It would send people into the street. But I had to do it.
People criticize me for wasting that perfume, but they don't know the whole story. They don't know what it means to be seen and called by name. Jesus pulled me out of the wilderness of my own isolation. They have no idea the healing that Jesus offered me, and they probably could never understand what I would give to do it all over again. I mean, how do you put a price tag on life? On a full and abundant life? I don't need everyone to understand. I just needed him to understand. He gave me the gift of new life, so in return, I gave him the only thing I had. Who is this man, you ask? He was grace embodied and love let loose, and I'll never be the same.
Out of her great gratitude for all that Jesus had offered her, the woman gave all she had. Out of our gratitude for all that Jesus has offered to us, we gather to worship him. One act of worship is giving of tithes and offerings. So as today our ushers come forward to collect the morning offering, I invite you to offer your financial gifts back to God, knowing that whatever the amount or however it is given, God will bless and use all that we offer to him to bring about new life through Christ Jesus. On the first Palm Sunday, the people greeted you with cries of Hosanna, Lord, save us. This triumph was followed by a week of turned tables, teaching, confusion, questions, anointing, betrayal, prayer, arrest, and crucifixion. That as Easter people living in a Good Friday world, we know to be the ultimate example of sacrificial love. the gift of one life given for all. This morning, following the example of the woman who gave all she had, we humbly offer our own gifts to be used to further your kingdom here on earth, so that others will know the new life and hope that we know in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Wednesday, betrayal. Then one of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray you, if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him.
Could he have really been the Son of God, the Messiah? Could he really be the one that God would send to redeem the world? Really? There were days when I thought he might be, like the day he fed 5,000 people. I still can't figure out how he did it, but I was there, and they all ate their fill. Or the night he told Peter to get out and walk on the water. I could never begin to tell you how that happened, but I was there. It felt real. But there were other days I wasn't so sure, like the day he sent us out two by two to heal the people. Did he really expect us to be able to do what he did? Or the days he rebuked the Pharisees. Could the Son of God really be that hard on people? Especially the leaders of the law.
Thursday evening, the garden. After dinner, Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with them Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." And then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "So could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak." Again, he went for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done." And again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and he prayed for a third time, saying the words, same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, and with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people.
It all happened so fast. It was late. Later than I had realized, and sleep was clinging to me like a fog I couldn't shake. I heard the crowd arrive in my dreams. At first, I thought it was a crowd of people wanting Jesus to heal them. I thought selfishly to myself for just a moment, how in the world did they find us here? That's when I started to wake up. I realized the crowd didn't sound right. It wasn't people praising Jesus or begging for mercy. It was too quiet, far too quiet for that. And in that quiet, I could hear the clink of swords and sheaths. I frantically pulled myself from sleep, shaking awake my brothers and trying to stand up quickly. I saw Judas at the front of the crowd. "What is he doing here?" I thought. "Maybe things will be okay after all," I thought. But I was wrong. In a split second, my whole world fell apart around me. I went from knowing my way, knowing my purpose, and knowing my plans to standing in the wilderness alone. It happened as quickly as a summer thunderstorm and as slowly as the change of seasons. The crowd with clubs and swords were taking Jesus. They were taking him away, and he was not fighting it. Maybe if I had stayed awake, like he had asked, this wouldn't have happened. Maybe if we had left Jerusalem and gone back to Bethany, this wouldn't have happened. What am I supposed to tell my family? The man I have seen heal the sick and walk on water has been arrested, and the angels didn't stop it. Who is this man, you ask? He's not a criminal, that's for sure. It all happened so fast.
Friends, I invite you to stand for our hymn number 85. What wondrous love is this? Let us pray. Lead us, O God, in the way of Christ. Give us courage to take up our cross, and in full reliance upon your grace to follow him. Help us to love you above all else, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, demonstrating that in love and in deed and in word, in the power of the Spirit. We pray today for those who are sick or injured, and we pray that they might be healed. We pray for those who are grieving, that they might be comforted. We pray for those living or serving in the middle of conflict or war, that they might be kept safe. We pray for those in need of food or shelter or medical care, that they might receive what they need. May we, followers of the way of Christ, be your hands and feet here on earth. Give us the strength to serve you faithfully until the promised day of resurrection, when, with the redeemed of all the ages, we will feast with you at your table in glory. Through Christ, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, and with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. And let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On Palm Sunday, so many years ago, the people saw Jesus and asked,
"Who is he?"
On Monday, he turned the world upside down. He flipped the tables while he flipped the script. I've never seen anything like it before. And I asked myself,
"Who is he?"
On Tuesday, he was a teacher. But he wasn't like the other teachers. He sat, and they sat. He spoke, and they listened. What they don't know is he hasn't earned his place. So I ask myself,
Who is he?
On Wednesday, he pulled me from the wilderness. He gave me the gift of new life. So I gave him all that I had. People may have stared and talked, but newness does that to people. I know they were asking,
Who is he?
Wednesday, he was nothing more than a man worth 30 pieces of silver. It didn't matter to me.
Who is he?
On Thursday, he was the body broken for us, the blood shed for us. On Thursday, he was betrayed. He was arrested. He was treated like a convict. On Thursday, he was alone, and I was asleep. I didn't understand.
Who is he?
Who is he? It's the question everyone is asking. Friends, this is the question of Holy Week, and it's the question of our entire lives. In order to answer this question, we have to walk through all of Holy Week, through the wilderness of betrayal and death, the wilderness of the tomb and surprising endings. This week, we invite you to join us again in our Holy Week service on Monday, Thursday, as we continue to walk through the wilderness of faith, the good days, the bad days, the everyday, step by step. We'll see you then. And so may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.